Sometimes a remake can send you right back to the original.
Raymond, show, please.
And reawaken people to its value.
Raymond, why don't you pass the time by playing a little solitaire?
Which is what's happened with the music, of all things, from the classic film The Manchurian Candidate. At one time, it was easy to think of film music as just one thing. Lush, string-heavy, heart-tugging scores by wonderful, classically influenced film composers. We've lost two of the greats in that tradition just this summer, Elmer Bernstein and David Raxon. They had distinctive personal styles, of course, but their work still had a kind of film music sound you could identify. Film music, like music itself, had its own classical period. But it seems as if something new happened to film music almost every time someone from outside came into that world to do a film score. Classical musicians like Aaron Copland and Leonard Bernstein made a real impact with their movie music. In particular, Bernstein's score for Elia Kazan's On the Waterfront in the 50s. New York musicians like David Amram really listened.
We all did. That great French horn solo in the beginning. Every French horn player in the world saw the movie three or four times just to hear that. And his music for it is just so terrific.
Amram himself, who is basically a classical musician who's done a million other things, carried on a little of that tradition of the outsider writing for the movies in a way with his score for The Manchurian Candidate. And he has just had the surprise of his life. Selections from that 42-year-old film score from the original Frankenheimer film are just about to be released on a viable commercial CD for the first time, along with the Wyclef Jean Rachel Portman score from the new Jonathan Demme version of the film.
So the whole CD itself is almost like going to a double feature, having the old and the new Manchurian Candidate as a kind of a musical double feature.
Amram's is a famously distinctive score. Back then, he had already done one picture for John Frankenheimer and had established himself as very New York, very un-Hollywood. The director wanted to work with him again on the new film.
John Frankenheimer said, "The only thing, David, remember, it's not a Chinese war movie. Let the film tell you what to do."
And so he did. They put him up in a Hollywood hotel popular with New York actors.
So I sat at the Montecito Hotel for 6 weeks with a moviola and a little piano and just wrote the very best music I possibly could. Orchestrated it, conducted it, got most of the players. And I did the same thing as if I were writing a symphony or an opera or a concerto.
The music Amram was writing for the movie followed in the tradition also of Duke Ellington and others who'd put jazz, real jazz, not just a jazz influence, into the movies. Amram went back to a 50s jazz feel for a sense of authenticity. Some of the film scenes flash back to the Korean War, which in the film is the setting for the ambush, capture, and brainwashing by Chinese and Koreans of an American patrol.
I was in the Army from 52 to 54, so I remember what we all listened to. And I had Carmel Jones, great young trumpet player at that time, and Harold Land, master saxophone player, and some great jazz players, and myself playing to really try to capture that feeling. And then, about 2 minutes later, the main title came, and that was my chance to state a theme, which was then developed as a theme in variations in many, many forms throughout the film.
That main theme is what's so arresting. It sets the scene for a complicated, melancholy film. Not your typical commercial thriller score.
I told John that I was hoping that I could do something that was ennobling to the character of Lawrence Harvey, and also to put a positive and spiritual feeling into the film.
Positive, however, was not to be the adjective attached to this particular film. Lawrence Harvey, after all, played a brainwashed killer in a ruthless political landscape, and the climactic scene coincided with tragic world events.
We did it in the spring of 62, November 22nd of 1962. 1963, President Kennedy was assassinated. And since the film almost predicted that, that event was so devastating, a national catastrophe just put everyone in a state of shock and despair for years.
The film was withdrawn for a generation or so, and then interest in it and the score resurfaced. The old tapes had been kept in a vault.
And the Library of Congress miraculously had a microfilm of my original scores in my own handwriting, orchestrated by me, which they sent me. So now there's interest possibly in having concert performances of it done, and the recording of it is finally coming out.
So there is now reason to be positive about the film and its score of 42 years ago. Even David Amram didn't imagine it would come to this happy moment, even though he is a positive thinker in the extreme.
You better learn how to improvise in everything in your life, or you're never even going to get to write that first piece. So you always have to find a way to try to be wide open and not be determined by what we're all told we're supposed to do, but rather to encourage everyone, if you have that dream, just go for it. And if you're 90 years old, if you still haven't achieved it, then it's time to go to dental school. That gives me 17 more years.
An interesting look at a film score of 1962 right up against a score for the remake of 2004. Available next week, The Manchurian Candidate soundtrack on the Varese Sarah Band label. A novel pairing which has certainly had its impact on the composer.
I was literally in a state of shock. I still am.
And which has proved once again that film music is not just one thing.
And so pleased and delighted that this has happened at last.
For WNYC, I'm Sarah Fishko.